Today on Real Radio.
Listen to what Paul says earlier on in the ministry. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear. That word's timidity. In 1 Corinthians 16:10, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, do not let anyone despise him. Why? Timid people are frail. If somebody says something to despise them, they shrivel up and blow away.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We've now begun looking at the first chapter of the second letter to Timothy, and much like the first, it contains warnings as well as encouragements by Paul to this young pastor. As he begins his correspondence, Paul refers to himself as one who serves the Almighty. Let's continue with this presentation called Thanks to the Servant. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And in the wisdom of God, it was time for Paul to go home, and it was also time for Timothy to grow up and begin to lean on God instead of man, as we shall see. His tears in the ministry. Proverbs 18:24 says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's Paul and Timothy, no doubt. The Bible tells us that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen, if blood is thicker than water, then spirit is thicker than blood. There's a bond in the spirit that is far greater. And so he says there, that I may be filled with joy. Timothy, I want to see you, and I don't want to see you crying, so my heart can be changed. When I think about you, Tim, I don't want to think about all those tears. I want to see you happy, man. I want to see you blessed. And what a pastor. Timothy, I want to see you blessed. I want to see you happy, full of joy. It'd make my heart glad. You know what? Don't you want pastors in this world like that? Don't you want a pastor like that? I want a pastor like that. I want to be a pastor like this. Who can weep and who can desire and who can draw people into the heart without fear of being vulnerable and open. Paul doesn't care. He's crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he lives, but Christ now lives in him. He says there in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your mother Lois, and your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded dwells in you also. What a blessed thing. Real quick, people, as parents, we need to be teaching our kids the Word of God. We are painting a picture every day of Christianity to our children. You may not want to hear these words. I don't want to hear these words, but the truth stands. We are painting a picture of Christ to the people around us. Are we encouraging our children towards Christ? I had a man tell me, because he's not a believer and his wife is a believer, my kids come home from church and they say, Jesus loves them. He said to me, I tell them, no, he does. Bozo loves you. A man said this to his children. Thinks Christianity is a joke. He's undermining everything that the Sunday school teachers are putting into their children's heart. The children come home and the father mocks them. Jesus says, if you offend the least of these, my little ones, it would have been better for you to never have been born. God have mercy. Are we promoting, encouraging our children to walk with Jesus Christ? Are we steering them to the Word of God? What about when they fall down and bruise up their knee? Are we praying with them? A neighbor to some people in this church, a little boy is riding his bike. I think I told you this before, and he got his finger caught in his sprocket and cut his finger off in the street, a little six-year-old boy. And the dad stood out there in the street and said, "You stupid, why did you do that?" "Honey, your son cut his finger off and it's out in the street. Go get it." "I'm sorry." "Thank God I found out about that like 3 days later because I wanted to do things to that man. I wanted to anoint him and to lay hands upon him. And I thought, the God of the Old Testament's the God of the New Testament, so let's throw him into a fiery furnace and see what happens, you know. And boy, my mind goes. I get fangs and a black thing and a cape, and I begin to... God blows my mind that he's so patient and so awesome. I can't handle it. He goes on there in verse 6, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands," he says. Now, this word "stir up," it means to rekindle, to stoke the flames, or to burn again. Not born again. He's already born again. After being born again, sometimes we slip into a coldness. Timothy, listen, Timothy had become fearful of the ministry. He was crying when Paul last saw him. He was pastoring a church in Ephesus, where there's carnality and sin and pornography. Ephesus had porn on every corner. We haven't gotten that far yet. But the fact of the matter is, Paul is telling Timothy, burn again, Tim. Stir it up. Stoke the flame of your heart, Timothy, of the gift that engulfs your life. Why did Paul say that? And I got out all my books and began to do research. It's because Timothy lost the fire. The ministry, the world pooped him out. That's poo-poo-pooed in the Hebrew or something. It quenched him. He was bummed. He was in the ministry, and it began to be too much, and he began to sink. And he got cold. And how many times have we been in the church, and we're going through all the motions? Praise the Lord. And we are moving, and we're dead. We are dead. And the Lord says, "Jack, stoke the flames, man. Go back to your first love. Forget all the works. Forget the study. Forget the preaching. Forget it all. Sit before me and love me again for who I am." We need to do that again, people. Are you dead this morning? It's okay to admit it, but don't right now. It's okay to say in your heart, "I'm dead. Oh, I've just gotten so backslidden. I haven't shot anybody. I'm just dead and cold inside." God says to you, Timothy, stoke the flames again of your heart. Remember you're going to heaven, Timothy. This is not all there is. Love me again, Timothy. Burn again. The weight of the family, finance, church, life, ministry had crushed Timothy. Instead of being on top of it, it was on top of him. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." That word "casting" in 1 Peter 5 is to heave all your distractions upon Christ. For he, the word is mellow in the Greek, he lifts the cares. I like that. 1 Peter 5:7, heaving all of your distractions. Are you distracted this morning? You may not be a Timothy. I'm 50% Timothy and 50% Martha. Oh, I'm busy about many things. The gears are always turning. I got my apron on, and I got my concordance in one hand and biscuits in the other, like Martha. I got flour on my face, and I got ink over here, and I'm crazy. God says, "Mellow out, will you? Heave your cares upon me. Heave all of your distractions upon me because I mellow for you." Mellow out. The word "mellow," Jesus, is to lift or to take the burden. I love that. Now, and we'll end. He says, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, what does he mean by that? We do it today, and we shall do it in the future. It is a symbol of fellowship, yes. It's also a symbol of oneness, of koinonia, of unity. If we send somebody out from this church, we'll lay hands on them, pray for them, in front of all of you, and send them to Russia or to wherever. It's scriptural. There's a lot of accountability involved in that. Maybe in your life, someone's laid hands on you and began to speak or prophesy concerning your ministry. Maybe not. Maybe God's waiting for you to step out. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Jesus has called you into a relationship of servanthood with him. Timothy was downtrodden by service. He was scared. Are you scared? I'm scared. I'm always scared. I am so nervous all the time about this stuff. And the Egypt of my life always dangles the onions and leeks in front of me and says, come back to the lab. Come back to engineering. Come back to... And then I start thinking, wait a minute. It wasn't all that great. But you see, the grass is always greener on the other side. We're so blind that we can't remember where we've come from. And the Lord wants to use you where you're at. It's easy to sit like we did in a church of 25,000 people. Everything's getting done. I thought, surely they don't need any children's ministers, I thought. And I went up there and I spent 3 years with the five-year-olds. That's boot camp. I'll never forget those little guys, man. I remember my first day, I'm standing in there, and this little kid, great-looking little guy, he had a bow tie on and really decked out, and I said, what does your dad do for a living? Little guy had all his million-dollar clothes on. What's the story? Little guy sitting up front, knew all his Bible. And I thought, man, this is it. I'm going to preach the word to these kids. And I got there, looked out at the 35 five-year-olds, looked at them, and that little guy in the front row goes, what's that zit on your face? Here's my great debut, man. And I thought, oh, Lord. Are you afraid to step out? Are you afraid to minister? Hey, they may call you zit face or knucklehead. I had it all. God's preparing your heart for the ministry. Well, gee, Jack, I'd really like to minister. Do you see a need in this church? Get up and jump into it. He might shut the door. He may open the door. But don't just sit. Don't bury your gift of God in the dirt so that when the Lord comes, you have nothing to show unto him. Timothy was doing that. He was shrieking back from his call. He was giving up. Listen, Timothy was very timid. 1 Corinthians 16:10. Listen to what Paul says earlier on in the ministry. Now, if Timothy comes, and there's always an if with timid people. You going to be there? Yeah. Well, if he comes, let's use him. There's an if. Timid people have that preface. If. I don't know. If it's foggy, I can't come. If it's too sunshiny, I can't come. They're scared. They're timid. They're afraid of stepping out. Listen, Timothy was like that. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear. That word's timidity in 1 Corinthians 16:10. For he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, do not let anyone despise him. Why? Timid people are frail. If somebody says something to despise them, they shrivel up and blow away. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that timidity is a sin, and that those who practice timidity will not inherit the kingdom of heaven in Revelation. Heavy. It's translated cowardice. Now, why am I being so heavy? Because the root of cowardice in a spiritual life, timidity, is to say this. The meaning is this. I don't think that I can be used, so I will do nothing. If I do step, I'm scared to death of falling. I'm scared to death of breaking. I'm afraid of my life to be hurt. And it is in direct opposition to the empowerment of God in your life as a Christian. You are to step and let God fill the void. I promise you something, people, and I may be speaking to one person here this morning. God will not fill the void until you step. He's made you a lot of great promises. He wants you to step out. Just step. Timothy, step. Timothy, come on. Wake up, Tim, he says. And he begins to bring this out. And we'll end by saying this, though. In a person who's timid, they are governed by emotions rather than devotion to the Word of God. J. Vernon McGee says he hates to fly in airplanes. He hates it. Well, now he's doing just fine. But when he was alive and on earth, he hated to fly in airplanes. And he said when he would get a seatbelt on, he'd grab onto his seat and hang on. And he said every hour seemed like eternity as it ticked away. And then he said when the plane got bumpy, he said he would lunge for the seat in front of him and grab it. And he says, I don't know why I did that. That seat was just like my seat, but it felt better to hang on to it. I hate roller coasters. I hate them. I will never go on one. That is my emotion. I don't like them. If it has wings, I'll ride it. But if it's on wheels, on a track, forget it. Now, if God says to me, Jack, get in that roller coaster and preach the gospel to that guy sitting next to you. Lord, no, God. That's where Timothy's at. That's where you're at. Oh, Lord, I hate roller coasters. Preach the gospel. Jesus. Now, I'm faced with an ultimatum. Emotion or devotion? Do I yield to my fear? It's okay to be afraid of a shark swimming by you in the water. That's okay. But to never take a bath again? That's sick. To be afraid to get in a roller coaster? That's normal. It's okay to be afraid not to fly. But when God calls you to go to Russia, I got news for you. You're going to have to fly. Eat your emotion. Take it to the Lord. Crucify it. Obey the Lord and hang on to your seat. It's okay. Don't let your emotion govern your devotion to Christ. Let the Word of God ring true and ring hard in your life. Give up the emotion. It'll rip you off every time. Emotions will rip you off. And so when you're standing there and you go, golly, I would really like to get involved in that. Step out. Be a little nuts for God. Be a little cavalier for Him. Trust Him and step. But if we shriek back, uh-oh, what if I step out and the enemy, the devil attacks me and destroys my home? Then you are trusting in the power of the enemy more than the power of God to sustain you. And you have entered in the world of unbelief. And you are cowardice. And we're all that way, and we need to repent and walk with Him and trust Him. A couple of verses to help us along. Hebrews 12:3. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, Jesus, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice. Ah, no emotion, total devotion. Rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of the suffering of Christ, and you will be the recipient of His glory as well. O Timothy, O John, O Jack, Betty, be strengthened. Why? Jot these promises down and we'll be done. Philippians 2:13. For some of you, this is going to be liberating to your soul. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God, not you, not me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that neat? Do you believe it? How many of you believe that? Three of you. Praise the Lord. There's three. Wax strong for the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Get up and go. And if God shuts the door, say, praise the Lord, man. At least I'm moving, and now I know to go this way. And he'll lead you and guide you. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that lives in me and I in him will bear forth much fruit. Are you a fruit bearer? He says, without me, you can do nothing. And then finally, it's in service to God that we, as Christians, are made to be Christians. The body of Christ that we love so dear becomes strengthened, and that Jesus is glorified in our lives. And I want to end with a story. Paul the Apostle said, but we had this sentence of death upon our lives that we should not trust in ourselves. Several years ago in Mexico, there was a big earthquake and the rubble came down. And in the rubble, there was a mother separated from her nursing child. And in the rubble, she could hear her baby crying. She couldn't move, nor could the child. She, though, got rock pulled away, and she got her hand to touch the baby's face. And the baby, as she passed her hand across the baby's mouth, the baby began to nurse upon her fingers, and she was realizing that this baby's going to die. We're all going to die. Tremendous rubble above her and beneath her. Several hours went by, and the baby's lips began to be very parched as the mother blindly felt the cracked lips, and she took her finger and she cut her finger on some jagged concrete, and she began to nurse the baby with her bleeding finger. And then after a while, the body begins to coagulate slightly below the surface when it's bleeding like that, and it stops. Then she would take her thumb and slice her thumb and nurse the baby with her own blood. 3 days later, the woman, cutting and recutting, cutting again her fingers to nurse the baby with blood to keep the baby alive. They got to them. They found the baby alive. They found the mother. She had bled to death. Jesus Christ has come to a cross to give us eternal life. We have the promise of life in us no matter where we are today. Jesus has nursed us with his blood. And we can get up now because we're so blessed and serve his lambs, serve his people like Timothy did get up. And as we go on to this epistle, Timothy will wax strong as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the first few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. In fact, that means we've just now gotten underway with the second of two letters written by the Apostle Paul to the young pastor. It's a presentation called Thanks to the Servant. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO. We've made it easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You'll learn of just about everything that relates to this radio broadcast, events, offers, where Real Radio is heard, even links to other ministries that share our vision, and a lot more. RealRadioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.